Great Kahan Kinnett.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Please be seated. It is truly a great and awesome day, just as the speakers mentioned earlier, especially in prayer. There's a lot of significant things about today. This sermon is entitled, "The Kingdom of Yahweh is Coming to You Through the Seventh Trumpeter." Okay, through the seventh trumpeter. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Last night, it was a great, great feast that we had. It really was. Praise Yahweh. The food was great. The people on both sides of the table, both those that served and both those that were served, did a great and awesome job. And it really was tremendous. Okay, so, you know, one reason that this feast here is the greatest feast of trumpets to date is because, like Pastor has taught us, you know, each feast is greater, you know, and it's greater because we have more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding that is brought forth. So first, let's go ahead and turn, let's read the law itself on page 102. Let's read in Leviticus about this great feast because the world doesn't have any inkling of what this feast is and the significance of this feast. Okay? Leviticus 23:23, easy to remember. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh moon, on the first of the moon, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of the trumpets, the feast of trumpets, and that it'll be a holy convocation for you." You know, and this is so significant because we're in the days of the seventh trumpeter. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, this day is very significant if you look at the numbers, okay? Today is 9/7/2013. It's the seventh day of the week. It's the seventh new moon of the year, and we're in the time of the seventh trumpeter. You know, those, you know, praise Yahweh, when things come in threes, you know, just like we're going to cover a little bit later, you know, in Pastor's vision, you know, when things come in threes, you know, Yahweh is totally guiding this work. Okay, so now the title, I know the last Sabbath, the Great Kahan, it gave a little background, you know, in his calling to the house of Yahweh. And the title I chose is mainly because of it was a song clip. In fact, actually, I looked for the song tape and I couldn't find it, where Pastor's voice was on. And it was a fairly old one from back in probably the late 90s. But it was because I kind of thought about this because Pastor had talked about his voice changing, you know, over the years. Okay. Well, his voice has changed, but his message has never changed. It's always been the same, and it'll always be the same. But if you take that one clip, and I'm going to go ahead and read it to you, you'll see that there's three things in that clip that we must do. Okay? The kingdom of Yahweh is coming to you, so repent of your wickedness and come out of this wicked world because you're being offered a place in the kingdom. Okay, now I know a lot of people probably remember that specific clip, you know, but if you just kind of take that message, it's the whole plan of Yahweh for these in the last days. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming to each and every one of us because it can only come through the seventh Moloch. It can only come through the great house of Yahweh. So it was fitting that the seventh Moloch would be the one to bring it. Okay, so repent of your wickedness and come out of this wicked world. Well, you know, in the book of Acts, it shows that we must repent and convert in order to even come to the knowledge of Yahweh, to come and know and understand the laws and the prophecies. Okay, and then he ended it, which this is the best part of it. Okay, he ended it because you're being offered a place in the kingdom. Okay, and that place is salvation. You know, we're qualifying, like Pastor said, those that have actually been before the prophets of old, they were able to qualify but they wouldn't. Salvation was not really offered. In these days, salvation is being offered to each and every one of us, because the first will be last and the last will be first. And of course, we will be set in a position, if we qualify, to teach those that are resurrected that was here before us. You know, we have their testimony, but they need to have ours. Okay? They knew of everything. Praise Yahweh. They knew of everything that was prophesied to come. But brethren, we're living it right now. Okay? So, the house of Yahweh is the only place that's been given the authority to keep these feasts according to Yahweh's laws. And I brought a book. It's a King James New Open Bible. It's a study edition, just to show you what the scholars of the world think about the Feast of Trumpets. Because we know it's one of the greatest feasts. You know, we know the symbolism of it. Okay, this is an excerpt. It doesn't really have a page. Well, yeah, the page number would be 147. 147, King James Version, New Open Bible Study Edition. Okay, so it says, the Feast of Trumpets. This feast was observed by the blowing of trumpets and the offering of animal sacrifices, and it refers to Leviticus 23, 24 through 32, and Numbers 29, 1 through 40. Okay, the exact reason for its observance is not clear. Okay, now this is out of their books, okay? Some scholars believe it originated during Israel's captivity by the Babylonians to counteract the influence of the Babylonian New Year festival. The Feast of Trumpets is now known as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so, you know, the thing is the knowledge that is within the, you know, the authorities, I'll say, of the world, is that there is none. You know, it's only here that we would learn it. Now we know that the Feast of Trumpets is very, very symbolic of the warning going forward. You know, they can't even understand that. They can't even understand that the job of the seventh trumpeter in these last days is to issue this warning, to bring forth this warning to the world. And it's also is a testimony to the heavens above. Okay, so they don't even know. So let's go ahead and put their book aside. And we're going to go to Revelations 10, 1 through 5. Okay, Revelations 10, 1 through 5, page 977. Revelation 10, 1 through 5, where it speaks specifically of the seventh trumpeter, our pastor and overseer, the great Kohan Yeshua Label Hawkins. Okay? In verse 1, and I saw another mighty Moloch, and this is referring to the last day's seventh trumpeter, come down from heaven, or come with that authority from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And I look at that part about the sun bringing forth the light of the law. Okay? And he had a little book open in his hand, just like this one. Right here, he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot upon the sea, which is bringing forth the message to the people, and his left foot on the earth, so it's actually being brought forth to the earth itself as a testimony, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he has cried, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And we know that's the seven eras of the house of Yahweh, that only he, the seventh trumpeter, has been given the permission to bring forth that message in the last days. Okay? And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. So we know it was for a specific time. Okay? And we see that as it's being revealed in this time, that it doesn't come all at one time. Pastor has always brought us a little here and a little there. Okay, and in verse 5, And the Moloch, speaking of Pastor again, which I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven. And so let's turn to Daniel 12, 684, and we'll see that prophecy revealed, because that has actually taken place. Okay, Daniel 12, 7, the prophecy of these three time periods that's going to take place in this time. Okay, then I heard the man clothed in linen, which we know is Pastor, okay, who on that future day is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and vowed by him who lives forever that it will be for a time, a times, and a half, or a dividing of times, when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, all these things will be finished. So we see that the work is going to take place through Pastor in these last days, and it's going to be as the culmination, as Pastor has explained to us, of the work. Okay? So we see the prophecy of those three times. And there's another interesting thing about the dates. Let's turn back to Revelations. Revelations 9:15. Revelation 9:15. Okay, Revelation 9:15. And there's a date that's coming up here. This prophecy right here has been fulfilled. It was fulfilled on 9/9/2006. Let's go ahead and read it first. Okay, so that's 9:15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a moon and a year in order to slay the third part of men. Okay, and we know that Pastor released the four angels, the quartet, the winds of war, on this date, 9/9/2006. And why I say it's significant, but is if you count the years. That was 7 years ago to this Monday, I think it is. Yes, this upcoming Monday or this second day. Okay? So 7 years to the date that prophecy was fulfilled. Now, I got another book I want to go into. The seventh book of Yeshua, part two, Pastor's Vision of the Gold Flakes. You know, because this all fits in, and the Great Kahan gave a sermon about this. And you know, if you look at the date, okay, the way they, what the Great Kahan had mentioned was that Pastor said 777 nine times. I'll read it, okay? This was Pastor. Today is the 777. 777. That should be something. Okay? Now that's nine times. Now, if you get that tape, if you don't recall listening to it, it's a great explanation that he gives into that prophecy. Okay? Now, that's seven was spoken nine times. And we look today, it's the ninth Roman month. Okay? It's the seventh day of the month. Okay, it's in the year 2013, and the four winds were released 7 years ago to this upcoming day. Now, Pastor, let's go ahead and read the first part of it here. Okay, again, this is Pastor speaking. Somebody tell me if you can. Now, this morning I had this first vision I've ever had that I know of. It was a real vision. I woke up somewhere between 3 and 4, which we know those two numbers add up to 7, okay? I think it was closer to 4. I got up for a few minutes. I went back to bed. I wasn't sleepwalking. I was fully awake. I went back to bed, and I was looking out the west window thinking about today's sermon, okay? And again, you know, the Great Kahan did a great job of going into it. The west window, I know, symbolic of this west work. Let's turn the page to page 434 in that book, if you have it. And I like to read Pastor's interpretation, okay? And I believe that these gold flakes the vision that I saw, I believe that Yahweh is making you and I, into gold. Praise Yahweh. He says, I'll purify you like gold and like you know the city, Yahweh Shema. That he said the streets are solid gold, pure as crystal. You can see through it. So, and it's kind of interesting that we're in that book, you know, in the workshops. Okay? So what I would like to do now is get, let's look at Revelation 10. Let's continue on, verses 6 through 11. We're going to look at the continued prophecy that prophesies about these three time periods. Okay, and in verse 6, and vowed by him, speaking of Yahweh, who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things which are in it, that there should be a time no longer. Pastor referred to this as a time delayed. It would be a time period that it would be in and out. Okay? But in the last days of the voice of the seventh trumpeter, or the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound the great secret of Yahweh. Now we know that the great secret of Yahweh, of this secret, is the expounding of Yahweh's plan. No place else on earth has the knowledge or the authority to bring forth the great secret of Yahweh. Would be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Okay, so I can see I'm going to have to speed up a little bit here. Let's go over in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 9. Okay, page 535. Page 535, Isaiah 9. Because if you actually put the dates together, it comes up to a great message about this time period. Here, okay, so what we're going to read is 9:7-13, Isaiah 9, verses 7 through 13, and it speaks about our job. Okay, so Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government, like Pastor has talked about, this increase is speaking of the entire universe, okay, and peace, there will be no end. There'll be no end to peace in the universe as our job is unfolded and brought forth upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, speaking of Yahshua and the branch, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from that time and forever after. So as this seventh work unfolds, it's going to be from this time and forever after. The zeal of Yahweh will perform this. That's our job, brothers and sisters. Okay? And verse 8, Yahweh sent a word, the law and the prophets, into Jacob, and it was lighted unto Yeshua. You know, the light is the light of the law, which is being brought forth today by the house of Yahweh, by Yeshua. And all the people will know it, even from Ephraim, and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in their pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replant them with cedars. Okay, and this is the bringing forth of Yahweh's prophecies. Therefore, Yahweh will set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. Now, pay attention to verse 12. The Arameans, the Syrians in front, and the Philistines, or the Palestinians, behind, they will devour Israel, and that, of course, that's the country of Israel, with open mouths. Yet, for all this, his judgment, Yahweh's judgment, is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And there's a number of places in Isaiah where it shows that Yahweh's hand is continually stretched out, you know, as we are bringing forth the message. Let's turn over to page 559, Isaiah 45. Okay, verses 1 through 7. We're going to see here where Yahweh guides the seventh trumpeter in these last days. Okay, 45, 1 through 7. This is what Yahweh says to his anointed servant, Yishol, for uprightness, whom I have taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him. Yes, the strength of kings I will reveal, to open the doors before him, and the gates will not be shut. And you can reference that Revelation 3:7. And Pastor has said it here recently that this work cannot be shut down. Okay? And whoever comes against it, whoever decides to come against this work, Yahweh is not going to allow it. I will go before you, and those who are being honored, I will make their way straight. The gates of bronze I will break down, and the bars of iron I will cut. And that's all of the things about this beastly governmental system, all under the orchestration of the Catholic Church. You know, remember everything that Pastor has told us recently, especially, you know, about the Catholic Church coming against all forms of holiness. Okay, I will give to you the treasures of darkness and the riches of secret places, so you may know that I, Yahweh, who calls you by name, am the father of Yishol. You know, and he's named pastor in here. For Yaakov, my servant's sake, and for Yishol, whom I have chosen, I call you by name, by your name, and I surname you. I call you by name Yaakov, and I surname you Yishol. Though you did not recognize that it was me, I am Yahweh, and there is no other power apart from me. There's no God. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me. Okay, let's see here. So Yahweh is guiding the seventh trumpeter in this work. Let's go to Yochanan Mark, page 763. Page 763, Yochanan Mark. Because we know also that pastor is not only the seventh Moloch, the seventh trumpeter, but he's a sower in these last days. And remember, you know, that pastor has taught us that Abel was the first sower. He was the first teacher of righteousness. And then, you know, as we know today, pastor is that sower that's actually bringing forth with authority the laws of Yahweh. Okay, so in Yochanan Mark 4, let's go ahead and Yochanan Mark 4. Let's start at 13. You should be versed in the actual parable itself. But Yahshua said, then he said to them, because there was some that was with the 12 that didn't really understand, okay, the parable. Then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? But how then will you understand any parable? The sower sows the word, the law and the prophets. Those by the wayside are those in whom the word, the law and the prophets is sown. But when they have heard, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word. And that's something that, like Pastor had mentioned, you know, she pulls that, or she creates doubt in that person's mind. Okay, in the same way, the one sown upon stony ground are those who, when they have heard the word, the law and the prophets, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves. That's what we have to study. We have to show ourselves approved. We have to get into the work. We got to show, you know, how Pastor had even mentioned with this letter that was presented, you know, all we have to do to be a part of it, it's not anything complicated, is to actually bring forth your desire, not only in prayer, but to actually sign it and bring it forth, just like pastors bringing forth to the governments of the world, to let his people go at this time. This is the time that we're in right now. Okay? And in the same way, the one sown, okay, so they have no root in themselves. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, the law and the prophets, immediately they are offended. We'll finish. These are the ones who are sown among thorns. They hear the word, the law and the prophets, but the cares, the anxieties, the distractions of the world, or the deceitfulness of, deceitfulness of riches, but a lust for other things begin to creep in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And that's what, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, this is what, like what Pastor said, if the word of Yahweh comes to you and you don't grab a hold of it, and the world is such a big distraction, it will actually, you know, pull you out of the house of Yahweh. Okay, what I'm going to do at this time, there's so much more, brethren. If you go to the workshops and do this and qualify, you know, there should be no other thing in your mind other than to qualify to be a teacher of righteousness. So my, praise Yahweh. So my last scripture, I'd like to turn over to Yeshua, page 178. Yeshua 178, I'm going to leave you with this and also with myself, okay? Yeshua 1, verses 7 through 9, okay? Because Pastor has told this to us all along, especially when we go through tests and trials. Yeshua 178, verses 7 through 9. Only be very strong, and that word strong means to bind and hold fast, okay, and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey and to observe and do all the law which Moshe, or Yisrael, my servant, gave you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may succeed wherever you go. And I'd like to leave you with that. I thank everyone for coming out on this great feast day. And for those that are also listening, you know, let's stay strong, courageous, do that which is required to obey Yahweh's anointed servant. And I'd ask that everyone would please stand. I have the great pleasure to introduce our great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have several stories this morning in, fulfillment of the prophecies, in particular about Damascus. And we're going to start with, right after services last week, President Barack Obama did a speech about Syria saying that we've proven that it was chemical attacks were done by Assad, according to the U.S. government. And he believes we should attack Syria, but he wants congressional approval. And that was a big surprise to everyone. But the congressional approval is an indication of a bigger plan. And that's what that shows, because it means he's going to need money, and he's going to need, he wants to extend this, and so he's going to have to get that approval, so he's going to get it first. Then we have the Arab League calling for Assad to be punished, and it says the Syrian people are worried about the USA striking their country, and of course, if it's a popular uprising, they wouldn't be worried. And also, one of the things to keep in mind, they keep saying this is a popular uprising. Scott Pelley says it almost every night. What's the issue in the popular uprising? Usually if there's a popular uprising, it's an increase in tuitions or the food prices have gone up. They haven't given any issues. It's not a popular uprising. And then we have John Boehner supporting military action, and also says that Nancy Pelosi supports military action. And Nancy Pelosi is the pro-sodomy, pro-abortion friend of the Pope. Whenever the Pope, you can pretty much judge what the Pope wants by what Nancy Pelosi wants, because she's an extreme Catholic, and her whole family is, and it's in government, and she visits the Pope. Then we have a Syrian strike plans increase, and this goes right along with why we need congressional approval, because it was going to be just cruise missiles, but now it's going to include B-2 bombers. And then we have three Russian warships on the way to the Eastern Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Syria, and that's to fight us, basically. It's to support Syria in any attack that the U.S. does against them. And one of the things to notice, too, is in the story, Elizabeth Palmer says that Assad, she uses the word terrorists, and then she says kind of like indignantly, she says that's what Assad calls his armed opposition. And I was thinking, isn't that what we call our armed opposition? But watch for that point, because they use the same techniques that these other governments use against us, and they don't point that out. And then we have arsenic in rice. And this is a big story about how the rice itself in the United States, I think it's talking about brown rice in particular, has heavy amounts of arsenic. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins! We love everyone! Hey, you're looking great! Great, great, great! Yeah! Yeah, wonderful! All right, come on now! May be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with you, each and every one of you. We've got a microphone going up and down today for some reason. Back there, I don't know if it is here. If you get to where you can't hear me, holler. I want you to get every word of this. Every word. Every word. You understand? That was a great sermon that Kohan DiBenedetto Hawkins gave. He left out one thing, a little future thing, that 9-9, date 9-9. If you want to write this down, that's coming up Monday. That's when Congress is called back in to make a decision. Did you get that? Congress is going to vote on this war Monday 9-9. And by everything I can see, whether they vote yes or no, that really doesn't make any difference with the Scripture. The Scripture shows that these wars are coming, and the least little thing could set them off right now. What if somebody shot a bomb from Syria, shot a rocket from Syria, and hit one of our ships? Or one of our base stations over there where our people are housed. You know, this would start a war and no holding back, and then it would spread, and this is what everyone is saying, it's going to spread. That's what the Scripture says too. We need some old damaged furniture. Any kind will do. Beds, dressers, anything you got. This is for an art project, for the feast, to display at the feast. And then, after we get it used and burnt and everything like that, you can come get it after the feast and take it home if you want. I'm talking about old, broken down stuff. So, I saw the women over here shaking their heads. Yeah, come get all of it. I got it stacked out in the backyard. No. I wrote a couple of articles this week, and someone said they looked and they saw it in a newspaper, one of the articles. We are suspecting that this is hackers. It's getting into the House of Yahweh computers and getting our articles and the newspapers, somehow or another, they're connected with the newspapers, and the newspapers are running them. Now, the Peaceful Solution, Character Education Incorporated, speaks up in defense of Millie Cyrus's of the world. It's Cyrus's, Millie Cyrus's of the world, of this world, of this world, and offers invitations to them. Don't know if you're familiar with that incident, but she got a lot of criticism. I'd like to criticize the criticizers myself and show them where they're falling short. But that was actually leaked out to the newspapers. And yesterday evening, I was called, late yesterday evening, about 10,
They said, I can't believe it, but there's about 17,000 newspapers got this thing and running it tonight. And I said, well, I just got it written and turned in. They just got it typed up. And unbelievable. But this morning they called me and they said that it's up to 46,968 newspapers that's running that article. I said last week and wrote an article on it this week, Israel Hawkins says, legalizing marijuana will only accomplish two things, more taxes for the governments and more people that can't think. Now, this was placed, I'm told, on one medical journal, in a medical journal, it's a very popular one, and I don't have the medical journal here in front of me. I guess I left it on my desk. But they had all kinds of other medical information put around our article, and ours was number one on their newspaper. Headlines, faith, praise Yahweh. Now that article on marijuana, what'd I do with it? On marijuana, they called me this morning and said that had leaked out too, and 50,090 newspapers are running it this weekend. Already. Now, and it's still coming up. I marked out some things here I wouldn't want you to see. This right here is just a few of the... I better not say anything more. I just noticed something. But you'll see it feast. Really some great news. Doors opening everywhere. This is one of the articles, and I marked out some of the unseeing stuff. I didn't want to look at myself, but this was the article on legalizing marijuana, and all the articles stacked around this, believe it or not, are health articles or articles concerning health and medicine. Here's another cover, and this is on marijuana. So you see they're putting it out pretty plain and pretty bold. Here's one more. Biotech Health, this is where I wrote it down. 50,000, Biotech Health Care and Medical, whatever it was, I left out the next word. I was in a hurry to get down, here. I was running out of time when they called me. Updated report. Let's see, that gave several articles. Let's see, Peaceful Education. They say the newspapers are saying we're still holding a standing offer for the people to stop war and to get on the list. And a lot of people are doing so. We're quite up there now, but I don't remember what it is. At this same time that this is taking place now, death and disease is picking up everywhere, and especially here in America, but it's picking up all over the world. Birth defects cluster. Birth defects cluster. You know what a cluster of grapes are? Well, of course, imagine one, and then you imagine a cluster of grapes. Well, that's the way they describe this. Birth defects cluster in Washington remains mysterious. They don't know what's causing this. They claim they don't know what's causing this. Health officials investigating a spike in cases of a fatal birth defect in central Washington state have found no common cause linking the causes, according to a new report from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. This investigation began last year when a local hospital alerted the state health department to an unusually high number of babies born with a rare birth defect called anencephala, in which part of the baby's brain and skull are missing. Now, this is the way they're being born. And the increase now is really making them nervous because it's spiked. It's clusters of it now going on instead of a rare thing taking place. Now it's coming in clusters, and they're worried about it. Maybe if they get worried enough, they can listen to our program or get our books, and we will tell them what is causing it. Babies born with anencephala was missing part of the brain and are usually blind, deaf, and unconscious. Well, of course, you know, you can't expect a child to live under those circumstances. And all we can think about is going to war. Revealed government let British company export nerve gas chemicals to Syria. I think that was brought out in one of our news programs. But now, this is some of the tricks. You can't really rely on any nation or the truth of any nation or organization because all is fair in love and war, as they say. And, of course, what Barack Obama is saying is different from what Vladimir Putin is saying. And he's one is saying that Syria dispensed this nerve gas on its own people. The other is saying, and got proof from it. They got into Britain's computer some way and got the receipts where they showed that Britain actually sent this nerve gas themselves to Syria and the rebels to the rebels, as they call them. Well, of course, the rebels are drawing $1.56 billion, $1.56 billion payroll from the United States. But they call them rebels. I don't quite understand that, but I'm sure the politicians do. Syria crisis, China joins Russia in opposing military strikes. And, of course, they're teaming up now. And it's like they think the U.S. is crippled. The U.S. is not crippled by any means. They're put on a Barack Obama's put in a very critical situation to where if the strike is not made, then they'll laugh them out of the Mediterranean Sea. And of course, like the king, as Yahweh, and I want you to remember this because I'm going to speak on this very thing. The king who killed Yochanan, he had to do it because he had to keep his word. And, of course, his word meant more to him than Yochanan's life. Life meant nothing. So he went ahead and did the thing. Russia to keep helping Syria if it's attacked. So they're showing now that Russia and China and many other nations are going to get into this. Now, remember, there's a three-way battle going on here. The Pope is shown, or the Catholic Church, which studies psychology. Most of their study is psychology. In fact, one of our people who converted from Catholicism, he was in the Catholic schools for 4 years studying to be a priest. He said there was not one scripture read in the 4 years that he was there. And I said, well, what in the world did you study? And he said, psychology. Well, the one we have in office, or the two we have in office now, the scripture shows are experts at this. Psychology is a study of the mind. Psychiatry is a study of the mind. Where you, like they say things and do things to cause a person to think in a certain way and then submit to joining people and doing stuff that are not right, but they make you think it's right. They actually make you think it's right, and they convince you that you can have salvation by doing these wicked things. But the person is thinking, you know, from what they have said and the practices they have brought forth for them, that this is a right thing to do. I can remember many cases where they wanted people out of office, and they took them out, starting with propaganda, and during this time where they were arguing this, arguing the points to get people out of office, they brought up many things. They didn't say, they would say one thing, but if you asked them, did you not say this? Oh yeah, but I meant this. So it could be taken in two or more ways. The Catholic Church making some psychological attempts right now, and you need to be aware of these, and you need to really pay attention to this, what I'm going to show you here. These are attempts to put the Pope ahead in this three-way struggle. If you remember, Malachi Martin showed that this is a three-way struggle, and each of the three hope to come out on top. The Pope hopes to come out on top, and of course he's making moves to do so. If you notice, he's straddling the fence, so to speak. He will say, he says on one side of his mouth, he said, you know, we shouldn't go to war. On the other side, he says, you know, this man needs to be punished. On the other hand, he says to another nation, you better stay out of the war. War is not the thing you should do. That's what he's saying to Russia. Of course, Russia is the one that Malachi Martin said could become a grizzly overnight. He's a teddy bear right now, he said, but he could become a grizzly overnight. And Russia intends to come out on top. The United States intends to come out on top. But the Pope intends to come out on top also, Malachi Martin says. And he wants a resurrected Roman Empire to where all nations are doing what he says to do. He dictates to them, and his dictation is made loud and clear. You know, you're going to worship Mother Mary, the Queen of Heaven. That's what he's saying. Or you're not going to be left alive. Turn over to Yeremia, please, because Yeremia 44. I know you're all familiar with this, but you need to rehearse this. In fact, you really need to read the whole chapter, because the 12 tribes, this is nothing new. The 12 tribes that came out of Egypt, they brought Christianity with them, which you see in Jeremiah 44. You see it in many places earlier than this also. But Yeremia 44, you see this Queen of Heaven worship. And of course, it was condemned by the great prophet Yeremia, or Jeremiah. If you have a King James Version, it says Jeremiah, but his name was actually Yeremia. He shows the destruction that they're having. He shows in verse 2, you have seen all this destruction. Now, it's the way the King James is written, mistranslated, they make out like that Yahweh is bringing this destruction upon you. Yahweh was not bringing it. They wanted kings that would fight their battles for them. And, of course, the kings said, well, let's go over here and take this part of Israel, this tribe here, this colony. They're set up. They're rich. They got a lot of wealth there. We'll take the wealth and we'll divide it among ourselves. And we'll take their best people with us and make soldiers out of them. And we'll build our army. Well, that's the same thing that the school of Nimrod was teaching, if you remember. The school of higher learning. That's surely not taught today. It's almost a laugh is what is taught at West Point and all the other major universities. But they have three major universities in the United States, all of them Catholic, all of them teaching how to make war. How to take what this colony has over here for ourselves. Well, of course, the world has changed somewhat now to where things are harder to take away from this colony or that colony. Land is harder to take because those people have some big swords, some big nuclear swords. And this is what we fear. This is the one thing that we fear. And, of course, the whole world is saying, you know, I'm not sure I want to get into that. I'm not sure that your plans here are going to work. So there's some argument back and forth among Congress, among the senators. The senators have now voted an okay, given an okay, but Congress is going to vote 9/9/2013 to tell Barack Obama whether it's their opinion that he could go to war or not against Syria, start another war. Well, of course, they know now, as some of the kings did then. The kings had allies, and they would send runners to the other tribes and say, get up here, so-and-so is, we got word that they're coming to attack us. Well, some of them would go and help. Others would say, I don't think I want to fight that battle because I don't want to get into that. Same thing that's going on right now. Because that's a big army, and they could come down here after they get through there and wipe us out. And if we go and battle against you, they're going to take our lives. So all of this talk was going on, and that's what's going on right now in Washington. So it's the same plans. But Yahweh shows you here in the 44th chapter of Jeremiah what it is that's bringing this on. It's the worship of the Queen of Heaven, who brings down the nations, as Isaiah 14 showed, who wants to put herself above the congregations of Yahweh, the congregation of Yahweh. She wants to put herself above us. She wants this authority for herself to run the world, and she would rather, as some nations, she would rather destroy the world than to see her authority diminish. And you see the same thing, the same thinking taking place. Probably if Assad had said, well, I'll build a democracy like you have in the United States and we'll have an election and so forth, we say, well, that would probably solve the problem. It's not democracy that the Catholic Church wants. The Catholic Church is through their psychology, they say they want democracy. They just had it. They just had it in Egypt. What occurred with it? They had it secured. And then they found out that this man was going to go the other way against Mother Mary worship. And this is what he was doing in Egypt, and they took him out. He won the election. The majority of the people were behind him. So you see, there's another power behind this. Just like the scripture shows. in Revelation 17 and, of course, in Revelation 6. But here we see the worship of this Queen of Heaven. In Isaiah 44, we see in verses, we see verse 5, we see the wickedness that they teach, the gods that they worship. And then he says in verse 7, why such a great injury on yourselves? Why bring this great injuries upon yourselves? It's not Yahweh doing this. Yahweh is saying, you're bringing this upon yourself. And the King James, they twist it around and say, I'm going to bring it on you. Is it Yahweh talking in the first person is going to bring the, all these tragedies upon you? As if he is jealous. And that they actually put that forth. That word, use that word. In the last part of verse 8, he says, a curse and a reproach. You're going to bring this curse and reproach among all the nations of the earth. Get that? Not just Judah. not just that tiny little speck of, they call Israel over there, but all the nations of the earth there. You see that? Well, what is it they're bringing? Christianity. They're wanting to bring Christianity to all the nations of the earth. This is what the Roman Empire consisted of. It consisted of Christianity. They called themselves universal. And of course, they had this huge army that they had put together in Babylon and in Rome, the seven hills of Rome, that stood on the part of this religious leader. Four religious leaders and that represented the four great horns of death that wanted to kill everything in sight, everything that wouldn't worship Mary, they wanted to kill it. This is the same thing they do today. They brought abominations. They fought against anyone who would keep Yahweh's laws or own any parts of the scriptures that taught Yahweh's laws. Verse 9, have you forgotten, this is Yeremia speaking, to them, have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the king of Yada, kings, plural, kings of Yada, the wickedness of the wives, of their wives, your wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Yada and in the land of, in the streets of Jerusalem? To this day, none are humble, nor show reverence. They have not walked in my laws, nor in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. That is, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt, I set these laws before you under Moshe. If you look on down to verse 15, he calls these hinder gods, that they brought out of the land of Egypt with them. And then verse 15, he says, concerning the word that you have spoken to us in the name of Yahweh, we will not listen to you. The people speaking back to Yeremia, instead, we will certainly do what we have vowed to do. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, pour out drink offerings to her, just as we and our fathers, our kings and our princes used to do in the cities of Yada and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were successful and experienced no trouble. Now what they were talking about, they had troubles all around them, but they were killing them all. And they were killing everyone that tried to resist them in any way. And all of this was going on in the land of Israel at that time. And people started leaving, of course, and going to other places, and they would go hunting them. And the apostle Shaul was one of them before he was converted. Verse 18, but since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out our drink offerings, well, they never did stop. But they lied about that. And notice the cakes they made to her in verse 19. These were the hot cross buns that was shown in other places. Now it was in verse 22. Now it was because, no, it was because Yahweh could no longer bear the evil of your doings, because the abominations, you know what the abominations are, they're shown in Leviticus 18, which you committed, that your land has become a desolation. Fighting against each other, killing each other. The Israelites killing the Israelites as they multiplied. Look at verse 23. And it was because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against Yahweh, and have neither obeyed the voice of Yahweh, nor walked in His laws, nor in His statutes, nor in the testimonies. Therefore, this disaster has come upon you as it is this day. Look on down to verse 26, and Yahweh, the fourth line of that verse says, never again will my name be called in the mouth of any man of Yada. Now, here is people that everyone was calling upon the name Yahweh, and Yahweh said, I'm going to take it away from you, which He did. And of course, this is going on today. Now, I want to show you a bit of psychology now from an archbishop of the Catholic Church. And of course, they use this, and this is present day. They are using this to get sodomy in all the schools, in all the Boy Scout schools, in all the camps, and the little things to cause sin. The Hollywood is a great place to produce sin, and to make it look desirable. You know, you can put on they used to put on a white hat, and rode a white horse. That was Roy Rogers, and I think he used a pearl handle pistol and silver bullets. No, that was Lone Ranger, I guess it was. but they dressed this guy in white that was the hero that always won the battles, and then they dressed the other one in black. He wore a black hat, black this, black that, didn't use silver bullets, he rode a black horse. You know, this all carried a message with it. And of course, the one that went to war, and war, they didn't say that's an evil word by any means, but the one that went to war, and I'm begging, I'm asking all the Muslims out there all over the world, don't go to war. You know, this is the trick that they use to force you into war, and then they wipe you out. And this is the trick they used all through the past. But you need to turn to Yahweh for protection. I know you believe the prophets. You've told me that. Many of you have. I've studied with many of you in Israel when we were there, and you all told me that you believe the prophets. The prophets show you that, yes, you were forced to fight. You say you were. Nobody is forced to fight. Yahshua said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Well, what is that saying to you? He's saying, don't fight. Yahweh will fight your battles for you. And it won't be with swords and won't be with bombs. He will protect you if you will turn to Him as 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7 tells you, turn to Yahweh and let Him protect you. There is no protection against these bombs. What you're seeing building here is going to wipe you out unless you turn to Yahweh for protection. He has a protected place, and He will protect you till He gets you here if you will turn to Him in righteousness. And righteousness is not killing. Praise Yahweh. He who lives by the sword is going to die by the sword. You turn to this war, let them pull you into deeper and deeper war, you're going to get killed. There's no doubt about it. You can't fight a nuclear bomb, and the United States has plenty. And they're going to wipe you out if you don't. If you don't have Yahweh's protection, you have no protection at all. And you know this from your past experience. Well, here's a man named Tutu. And somebody changed that a little. I won't, but it sounds almost like something you'd sweep up off the street. Desmond Tutu, he says, would prefer hell over homophobic heaven. Would prefer hell over a homophobic heaven. So if heaven is against homosexuals, he would rather prefer hell, he says. If I can't have my little boys, oh man, this is so sick, it's hard to believe that even the Catholic Church or this man could get this low in trying to promote something this evil. Of course, he doesn't realize. Maybe he'll read some articles now that I'm showing the sickness and disease that comes from sodomy, just the act of sodomy alone. I've got a letter coming to you if you just read it. But maybe we'll bring these out during the feast. Maybe we'll just read some of these articles or bring the news. That'd be the best bet. Bring some news articles showing the scientific proof of what takes place when these evil, sinful acts takes place. The Pope says sodomy is not sin. The word sodomy is not sin. No. No, you can say it all day long. But the act of sodomy is breaking Yahweh's laws. It's shown in Leviticus 18, in Romans 1. You say you believe the New Testament. You say you do. You're liars, aren't you? You don't believe the New Testament. You don't believe the Apostle Shaul. You're lying about that too, as you lie in this article. The Huffington Post, this came out. Desmond Tutu denounced religions that discriminate against lesbians, gays, that is homosexuals, men, transgender, bisexual. He left out the word bestiality there, but I want you to get this now. This is a neat trick right here. He says he denounced religions that discriminate against these, and he takes it off of the sin. He takes it where the religions are condemning the sin of sodomy. He takes this off of the sin and he puts it on people. You get that? Listen closely. Desmond Tutu denounced religions that discriminate against homosexuals. So these poor, innocent people, you're just discriminating against these poor, innocent people when you try to show them, anytime you try to teach them that this is going to bring your hands to filth, your whole bodies to filth, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet to sickness and disease, you're going to pass it on to children. Yes, you're going to pass these diseases on to children. They'll be born without brains, with a half a skull, and 1,000 other things that they'll be born with. These are the sinful things. These are the acts. These are the diseases brought about by these sins called sodomy. We have scientific proof galore, scientific tests proven that these things come from the act of sodomy. But he takes this off of all of this. He takes the subject off of the sin or the laws they're breaking, and he puts it on like, well, you're just out here persecuting this person, this poor innocent person who can't defend himself. So they say, stop teaching against these homosexual acts. You're discriminating against these poor people. And now they're passing laws, trying to pass laws, to where if you say you know, follow this law. This will bring you salvation. Well, you're discriminating against this person, and they could file charges on you. This is what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to do this to where they'll shut my mouth. That's what they're wanting to do. But Yahweh says the gates of hell are not going to prevail against this house. But you see the approach here, you know, that the way he's got it, the way if I could use just a few scriptures here, turn to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. Now, in the Roman Empire, you were not allowed to own this book, Leviticus 18. You were not allowed to teach it. You were not allowed to practice it. You were not allowed to teach against sodomy. And this was being carried forth by the Roman army, the great leaders of the Roman army. Most of them died from these diseases that were caused from sodomy. Syphilis is one of those diseases. Look it up in history, and the people they call great. Alexander the Great. Oh, wow, was he great. Well, he was till his body was broken down. He was great in butchering other people, commanding his ruthlessness to other people. Yes, and this is what you see in these minds of people who commit these sins. Their minds changes, and they have a mind of a beast, a cruel beast. This is the way the prophets, the way Yahweh describes it, not just a beast, but a cruel beast that no person could stand up against. And the four beasts, that's the reason they called them four beasts of Daniel. Every one of them brought forth from the same character, the same deformed mind that you get from these practices of sin. In Leviticus 18 and verse 21, Verse 21, he says, you shall not give any of your children to be passed through this fire. If you look over to the margin there, you'll see that word fire there, they show that it means ravages of war. But not let your children be this. Well, of course, Yahweh says to prevent this in Deuteronomy 6, he says, teach your children. Teach your children when you rise up, when you go to bed, when you walk by the way, teach these laws to your children and teach them what it does when you break these laws. Praise Yahweh. Have it ready. Work on it. We got it ready for you. All you have to do is open a book and read it. If you're having breakfast, if you're getting ready to go to bed, don't turn that blasted television set on. Teach your children one of these laws or the results of sin. You shall not profane the name of Yahweh by doing these evil things. Now that would be, if I read that verse to a homosexual or a group of homosexual sinners that follow this sin, then I would be discriminating against them by telling them this law. Well, that's what this tutu, Desmond Tutu, it's like he's a dizzy poo-poo. Dizzy, Desmond. That's got to stand for confusion. And his name, the name itself, you know, and here he's out here saying you're discriminating against your children if you teach them this law of righteousness. That's about the stupidest thing that ever come forth from the Catholic Church, but they don't want you to understand they're using psychology, and then they will use propaganda beside this, and they will show these poor innocent people, oh, just sitting in a corner. They can't even move because somebody told them they were sinning. Oh, this is how it affects these poor people. They're so innocent and they're hurt so much deep in their heart. Come on, let's bring them forth and accept them like all human beings. Why not bring their preachers out with them? Bring the preachers out with them and let them hear a decent sermon that will bring righteousness to their activities. They throwing rocks at me? I'm not worried. If you look at verse 22, you shall not, and you read that yourself. I'm not going to read it. If you people that's listening to me don't have a word of it, you can get it in our book, but I'm not going to read it. But you need to read it. They're abominations. They're abominations for this to take place. You let this take place in your life and you're spitting in Yahweh's face. You're turning yourself on Yahweh. You're saying, I don't want any part of your work. This is discrimination. This is what Satan is putting into people's minds who read this junk from Tutu. Well, you know where he got it? He got it from the Pope, from the Catholic Church, the popes who lead the Catholic Church. And they say, like Malachi Martin, oh, the Pope is too weak to do anything about this. You know, he's outnumbered in the Vatican, so he can't do anything about it. The Pope is one himself, or he would do something about it. He's standing up for it. And he's getting his licks in here and there and persuading schools and doing things here and there to persuade the schools to teach all of this kind of poo-poo to the children of this world. Neither shall you have, and you read it for yourself, do not defile yourselves. This brings defilement. Defilement means disease. It brings diseases into your body. And now we've got, because of these diseases that you put in your body, they're mutating, and of course the scientists can't tell why that these children are being born without brains and half a skull, half a limb, three eyes, five arms, two hands, one hand sticking out his shoulder. You know, we have them in all sorts of shapes now. They just can't tell what's causing it. They know what's causing it. The Catholic Church knows what's causing it because Satan has taught them well. And they're spreading it to all the world, just like Revelation said they would spread it. It's plain to see from Scripture and from, of course, scientific reports. The test, I remember these tests long back, 50 years ago when we were fighting syphilis. And I remember then where that it was coming from and what was causing it. And they were trying to make out like at the time that it was just caused from some harlot that they met in a bar. And I said, well, what created it though? Yeah, where did it start before that? Before she got it. It doesn't come naturally between man and woman. Well, they didn't have any answers then. They don't have any answers today, they claim. But they know the answer. But they know it's bringing in big money, and that is the thing. It's like marijuana. They want more money, so they're going to legalize it and take the money from the street vendors and put it in their own pockets and enrich their lives with more sin. I love you, brethren. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader.